This is the March 6, 2015 edition of WFAE Talks. My name is Greg Collard, and I'm news director at WFAE. And this week, I'm joined by education reporter Lisa Wharf. Lisa, you're going to talk about the governor's proposed education budget.
I am.
You are. And reporter Gwendolyn Glenn joins us, too. She covered her first city council meeting this week. And boy, a doozy for that to be your indoctrination to Charlotte City Council.
What a meeting it was.
Yes. Of course, we're talking about the non-discrimination ordinance. The portion that evoked the most controversy is over whether transgender people should be able to use the bathroom of their choice in Charlotte City limits. So what were your observations of that? You covered that along with Tom Bullock, by the way. We should be calling you our protest reporter. You covered a lot of the protests there. And then on last Friday, you were at this time,
Board
you were very, very busy covering the protests at the Board of Governors, have done some live hits.
Gwen's had some long days.
Yes.
Full of much outcry.
Yes.
Yes, yes. And I tell you, that meeting at the City Council was a really long meeting, marathon. It started with a rally outside that had probably about 200 people there. And then after that, a six-hour council meeting that went a little past midnight.
I imagine a lot of, from the public, a lot of similar things were being said. People were repeating each other. I'm assuming anyway.
There was a lot of repetition from what happened at the rally and from people testifying. There were over 100 people who testified during that meeting. It was the only item on the agenda. And yes, people were from the religious side saying some of the same things, questioning the gay people and transgenders who wanted to use bathrooms of their choice. Then you had parents talking about the safety issue. Many of them came with some of the same concerns. You also had people who said that they didn't want to compromise in terms of bathrooms and the other protections, not being able to be discriminated against in terms of taxi cabs, in terms of limousines. They wanted the whole shebang. They didn't want to break that legislation up.
Right, because what they did was they passed an amendment where they stripped, because the bathroom portion was so controversial, the City Council passed an amendment that stripped that portion out. And,
exactly.
And so they just kept it. What they actually ended up voting on was the part that prohibited discrimination against lesbian, gay, and bisexual people. So, you know, a taxi would have to pick them up. You'd have to be served in a restaurant. So that still got defeated. And one of the people who voted against it was LaWanna Mayfield, who is an openly gay member of City Council. And her thoughts were, we would have been turning our back on transgender people and telling them that they're not worthy of the debate right now. The other side of that is there's some people say you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We could have had some protections for people now that we don't have. And the ordinance was defeated by 6-5 vote.
6-5, yes. And one thing, just to give you a little color of that meeting itself and the rally, it was very emotional, very tense. You had people who came and they were very adamant about how they felt about their particular stand, yay or nay, on the proposal. Throughout the meeting, people would get up. If there was somebody talking who they disagreed with, they held signs. Either it said discrimination is wrong in that vein, or it said, no, Charlotte, don't do it. And they would stand up and hold these big signs. And
while they were speaking.
While people were speaking throughout the meeting. And they kept warning them not to applaud, not to say things. But many times throughout that meeting, they had to be reminded about that, because people would applaud, people would shout things out, especially when there were people who were questioning whether or not gay people were, as one person said, not normal, needed psychiatric help, get help. You had people from the religious community saying, I'll pray for you. And so you would get these shouts. And the same thing during the rally that I attended, a lot of disruption. There were arguments going back and forth at times. They didn't erupt into any fights, but some came pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Gwen, how did this come up? How did this provision come up in the City Council? Do you know?
From what they said at the meeting, and the city attorney was getting a lot of flack, and at times council members kind of had to take up, didn't have to, but they did. They kept reminding people he only did what we asked him to do. According to them, they have been talking about this for months, that it didn't just kind of come out of the blue, as many of the speakers accused them of kind of sneaking this in on them, that they never heard anything about this, and then all of a sudden it's this big issue on the agenda. But according to them, they've been talking about this in meetings, and they had a committee and talking about this, and they asked the city attorney to come up with legislation that they could talk about in an actual meeting,
okay,
have public hearings. So they said, and they said repeatedly, because people kept kind of accusing them of doing this behind closed doors. And at one point, you had some of the members who said some of the questions had not been asked before this was put for a full vote. And you had those who were for the entire amendment with the bathroom proposal, which would allow LGBTs to use the bathroom of their choice, said, well, you had a chance to ask these questions earlier. It's not my job to ask the questions for you, or to, you could have gone to the city attorney with your concerns when we were talking about this in some meetings. You could have asked these questions, and I'm for this. I'm not to do your homework for you. That was discussed as well. So you had some saying, well, maybe we just need to kind of research this more, and those who were for the bill were very upset over that and said, you know, you could have done that prior to this.
You did a story on this a few weeks ago, too. Did you notice a change in council in the last couple of weeks as you?
Well, actually, I wasn't sure whether it was going to pass or not, because it seemed to be very close.
Mm-hmm.
What I was surprised about was once the amendment passed to take the bathroom clause out of the legislation, that it didn't pass at that point, because what many of them were saying was, let's get something passed,
mm-hmm,
because we have non-discrimination policies, and let's expand those to those in the LGBT community. So I was thinking, oh, this probably will pass,
mm-hmm,
but because there were those who did not want to compromise, wanted it all or nothing for their own reasons, it failed. So I was surprised by that.
In general, the crowd that was there in support of the original ordinance, what was the reaction that you saw when the other protections didn't pass? I mean, or when LaWanna Mayfield decided not to support those other protections because it was all or nothing. What was the reaction to her decision there?
One thing was that after the meeting, which was so long that everybody seemed very just exhausted after, there were no applause. People just kind of filed out, and it was so quiet. That was really something I did not expect. But in talking to people afterwards, some said that they were glad it was defeated because they wanted that bathroom clause kept. Mm-hmm. They wanted that to be included. And they said that it was just too watered down, and they were glad that they had the support of no compromise. Then you had others who said, well, it's a good thing that it didn't pass because I was against the bathroom clause, but I also felt like they had not done enough research and looked into this enough, and also had not heard from people in the Charlotte community, mm-hmm, that they had not talked to enough people to see what their constituents thought about this. So you had those different kind of reactions from people after the meeting was over. And on some people's faces, it seemed to be just disappointment in that some of the things that were said and some of the arguments that happened outside at the rally, that they were just so disappointed that it had gotten to that level of people going at each other. And some of the things that were said, some of the things were hateful sounding. Some of the ministers wanted to make it clear, we are not against LGBT people. We want everybody to love everybody, but we are not for this, whether it's for safety, whether it's for religious beliefs or whatever. But some people just seem to have been so disappointed that it had deteriorated to that.
Well, what do you think's next for this now? This isn't going to be the last we'll hear of this, I'm sure.
I'm sure. According to the council members, they're going to do more research and talk to more people and look at it more. And the people I talked to from the various groups who were for or against it, they didn't seem to have a game plan at that moment. Some of them expected it to pass, some of them didn't, but those I asked didn't have a game plan for what's next.
And do want to note there's it's five or six other cities in North Carolina that Tom had reported. I forget the exact number.
I think it was maybe seven or eight, actually.
Seven or eight, okay. Well, a bunch. Let's say a handful of cities do have this similar law. None of them have the bathroom portion.
Exactly.
Charlotte would have been the first to have that.
Yes, Charlotte would have been the first to have that.
All right, moving on. Education, the budget. You spent it was late night for you this week. Going through the budget with Ben Bradford, all the different aspects of it. Very good story you had this week
thanks.
On breaking down the governor's proposed budget. Your expertise is education. The governor wants to make sure every teacher has a base salary of $35,000.
That's beginning teachers.
Beginning teachers,
right?
Yes.
And so a lot of counties do supplement the base pay. But, I mean, this should not come as a surprise to people because basically when he rolled out his education plan last year, he said, okay, we're going to raise the base salary for beginning teachers to $33,000. And next year, we're going to raise it to $35,000. And, you know, a lot of people seemed on board with that. So that was not a surprise that that's in there. A lot of the big spending on teacher pay is not a huge surprise. For example, the other sort of big ticket item in there is moving teachers and principals, administrators along the state pay scale, which may not seem like a big deal. But for several years, that scale was frozen. So at one point, you had a first-year teacher making as much as a sixth-year teacher. So that is where a lot of the new spending in education comes in the budget.
There's going to be a fund to reward the most successful teachers. Was it $15 million that's in that fund?
$15 million over 2 years in that fund.
And the devil's in the details. That's always a big debate. What is a successful teacher? How do you judge that? And there's really no indication yet on that, right?
Not that I can tell. I mean, CMS has been talking about this for years now. How you figure out a highly qualified teacher, and you know the consent. You know, there's a lot of talk about how much test scores figure into this. And then the state legislature in the last couple of years has thrown it back to districts and say, you tell us, you know, how we figure this out. So right now, it's hard to say, you know, how they would apportion that. But I mean, $15 million, when you're looking at all the teachers we have in North Carolina, is not a very big sum.
Well, to get back to the raises, you don't foresee that's going to be a problem then with lawmakers bringing it up to that level of a $35,000 base salary for beginning teachers?
I don't think so. And that's something, you know, when Senate President Pro Tem came out, Phil Berger, after the budget, he basically said, for the most part, I look forward to reviewing this further. And the one thing he did comment on was that he supported the governor's commitment to raise teacher pay for early teachers early on in their career. And, you know, usually you see the Senate and the governor at most loggerheads. So that is not something I have, you know, and when it was proposed last year, I did not hear much disagreement over that.
Pre-K, what's happening with pre-K in the budget?
That is a question. That is a question I need to get answered, because pre-K, how I read it, there is a budget item in there that would go to pre-K, but it doesn't seem like it's an expansion. It said it's basically to ensure that 26,800 kids will be in pre-K. And that was one of the things I meant to look up last night and to remind myself how many kids are in state-funded pre-K. So I think that is not an expansion item, and that is just a continuation item.
Well, we need to talk about why you don't have all these answers after going through a 300-page budget immediately.
Yeah.
Just one day after.
Yeah, well, one of the things, though, that is interesting is, you know, what they did with parts of the budget. With education, they said the way we're going to start budgeting this year, we are not going to automatically include growth in our calculation. For example, you know, in North Carolina, we're gaining students every year. And so instead of just calculating that growth in students as something that's definitely going to get in the budget, they said, no, you know, we're not going to make that a requirement that that is in the budget. But, you know, when you looked at the education budget this year, that growth was factored in. And I was talking to the chief financial officer at the State Department of Public Instruction yesterday. And he said, yeah, you know, it was kind of a relief that he saw that in the budget and took it as a positive note because, you know, last year he was very concerned that, you know, maybe it would just be the same budget for more kids and that wouldn't be factored in. But they actually, in the governor's budget, the second year, it does actually factor that growth in. So,
did the governor budget growth for the voucher program to give state money to kids, to low-income students to attend private schools?
I'm glad you asked that question because going through the documents yesterday, I didn't note that, but I did not see, at least I did not see that expansion in there.
Of course, that is the Supreme Court is now we're waiting to hear from the state Supreme Court and whether that program will continue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, anything else?
One other thing I was just going to add in terms of the legislation that was before the council. I mentioned in earlier reports, but a lot of the attention, of course, was focused on the bathroom issue, the LGBT people. But had that legislation passed, it would have also included and expanded the current non-discrimination policies to include people who could not be discriminated against because of their marital status, whether you're single or married, when you're going in restaurants, when you're getting a taxi or cab, and also familiar status, meaning if you have children, maybe a taxi cab said, oh, too many people, I'm not going to pick you up from the airport or whatever. So it would have also covered going in a restaurant with five children or one child. Screaming
so,
baby.
I don't want to pick up
you
a screaming baby.
Exactly. So it would have covered that as well.
Interesting.
I did not, didn't know that.
No.
All right, guys, thanks. Let's see. I got to hit the button there. All right. All right, guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks.